3. Welcome to the Sportscast, October 10th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out in the rankings. Hit subscribe as well. This show is sponsored by InstaBible. If you like to read the Bible on your iPhone, download InstaBible for iOS only. It is the weekend where the master faces his student. Alabama versus Texas A&M. A team Texas A&M has given trouble before, but maybe not this year. But will it change? Will it flip? Will home field advantage work in behalf of Texas A&M? Will Alabama prevail? To talk to us a little bit about Alabama, Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sports Guys.
Glad to be here. Nice little Star Wars-like intro, the master facing the student from you there, Santiago. I like that.
Yes. Jimbo Fisher is what we're talking about. He is the current coach of Texas A&M. When did he work under Nick Saban?
It was while he was at LSU.
LSU, that's right. LSU, where Nick Saban has won one championship there as well.
Right. Matter of fact, he had a lot of really good coaches under his wing that year when he won a title down in Baton Rouge. So hopefully this time around when another student faces the master, we won't have an upset. Well, at least for me, I'm hoping no upset this time.
Well, Texas A&M is ranked in the college football playoffs. In the AP poll. Some people think they're overrated, that they shouldn't be ranked at all, even though they're ranked at 24, I believe. What should we expect from Texas A&M this weekend?
Yeah, what you said is absolutely true. They are receiving a lot of criticism right now. They actually came into the season with a lot of expectations. They are ranked very highly, and a lot of people were really expecting them to, I guess, ascend to a next level. Even though their schedule is probably one of the hardest, schedule in the nation. But a lot of people thought that they had enough on their roster, and that being the second year under Jimbo Fisher, that they would be able to conquer at least two out of the three top-ranked opponents and possibly sneak into the college football playoff. However, as we've seen already through 6 weeks of football, going into 6 weeks of football, Texas A&M has not done that. They went to Clemson and laid an egg, which came to the surprise of a lot of folks, especially after what they were able to do to Clemson this last season. Kellen Mond had a career day, had over 400-plus yards passing, only to turn around in the contest this season to look like a freshman just coming off the bench. And then here recently, they dropped one to Auburn. They were down pretty big, but managed to fight, scratch, claw back. But were unable to put something together to get a victory. So they've had some losses, and their schedule doesn't get any easier. This week they've got Alabama, but they still got to play LSU and Georgia as well. So it doesn't get any easier after Alabama. But let's look at Texas A&M. Texas A&M has just enough defense to slow down Alabama's offense, and they need to try to do that early. You know, their pass rush isn't great when it comes to sacks, but they can generate enough pressure to get off the field. Justin Madubuike is an NFL talent. He's one of the powers of that defense, so he'll have to get going early. What they'll have to do is what a lot of people have not yet figured out how to do, and limit the mid-range passes from Tua Tagovailoa to his receivers into turning into touchdowns. So, but they were able to do that somewhat against Auburn and against Clemson, but I feel like they're going against a tougher crop of receiver this week against Alabama. And as mentioned earlier, for Texas A&M to really have an opportunity to pull an upset in this game, Kellen Mond is going to have to be on. You know, he was unable to do that, like I said, against Clemson. He was decent against Auburn, but he can't quite hit the big plays that can take over a game. He's been very ineffective pushing the ball downfield, and matter of fact, he ranked 69th in the country with 6.5 yards per attempt. He's got some talented receivers in Jamon Austin and Courtney Davis. Jamon Austin is the more productive of the other two. Davis has explosive big play ability because he's a type receiver. Now, what they're going to have to do is take advantage of his inability to play a serious pass rush. Yes, an Alabama defense, for the first time under the Saban era, has not really been able to generate a really good pass rush. And they also tend to give up a lot of third down plays. For one thing, we need to keep an eye on is, you know, they had a hard time against Ole Miss quarterback John Rice Plumlee. And now they're going against Kellen Mond, and he's a much better quarterback, both passing and running, than what Plumlee was. Now, if Mond is on, you know, this could be quite an issue for Alabama. But the thing is, if they're going to do something, they're going to have to avoid getting into a shootout with Alabama because they don't quite have the offensive talent to go toe-to-toe with Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, and that host of wide receivers who coincidentally have all been named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list. And one thing Texas A&M has been able to do pretty consistently is control the clock and the tempo. However, they haven't been able to produce a lot out of it. They're going to have to produce something out of it if they hope to beat Alabama. So that's the main thing I'm looking at, you know, from Texas A&M.
The Aggies in Alabama. Alabama leads the all-time series 9-2, and that includes a 4-0 record at Kyle Field. The Crimson Tide are 6-1 in matchups when both teams are ranked. Many of you guys probably remember Johnny Manziel. He led Texas A&M to a 29-24 victory over Alabama in 2012. The Crimson Tide had won the last six meetings by an average of 22.2 points per game. Alabama has won the last three meetings at Kyle Field by an average of 11 points per game. The Crimson Tide is 3-2 against the spread in road games since Tagovailoa took over as starter. The Aggies are 3-2 against the spread as an underdog under Fisher, and that includes a 1-0 record at home. That game, of course, was at the 28-26 loss against Clemson last season. Can Texas A&M push Alabama to the limit in the same fashion?
I think they absolutely can, and it's funny you mentioned that Johnny Manziel upset game. I'm sure we'll see a lot of those clips, you know, on CBS Saturday.
The Alabama Slayer, they call him.
I'm sure we'll get enough of that from Gary Danielson and his crew Saturday, because it seems like every time Alabama plays on CBS, they have to go to the vault and pull out every time Alabama's lost to a particular team that they're playing that Saturday. But Kyle Field is a really hard place to play. Alabama is going to have to be on the top of their game. Yes, Texas A&M has underperformed thus far this season. However, I expect for them to play their best game yet at Kyle Field this Saturday. So I feel like you're going to get a much better Texas A&M team. But let's look at Alabama right now. Tua Tagovailoa has passed for 23 touchdowns. He's averaging 12 yards per pass, and he's 76% of his throws. Add to that, Alabama is absolutely awesome in the red zone. They're converting 90% of their trips to points this season. Texas A&M, they do have big, tough corners. They can jam some of the receivers. But here's the thing. They can jam some of them, but they got four to contend with. So for the Alabama wide receiving group, it's time to play rock, paper, scissors and see which one of them, maybe two of them, has another big day. Will it be Jalen Waddle finally? That remains to be seen. What they need to do, though, they need to get up early and keep pressure on by mixing things up with offensive balance and also keep the Aggie running game at bay, which up until this point has been virtually non-existent through five games of play. Thank goodness for Alabama, Travion Williams is now gone. They should have a little bit better going against this running game, which is kind of cutting their teeth. They got some young players. Isaiah Spiller has the ability to be a big play back. But one of the things Alabama is having a problem with right now is stopping the run. Hopefully Alabama will not let Texas A&M become a dominant run team at their cost.
At their peril.
At their peril, well, however you want to categorize it. One thing we need to keep an eye on, center Chris Owen is questionable for this game. He hurt his knee early on, so and he hadn't been able to practice this week. He may be able to go we will see come game time. If he's not able to go, more than likely, Landon Dickerson will actually slide over and play that position, which he has done already a couple of times this season, and he's done so very well. Matter of fact, Tua Tagovailoa is with him at center. Another good thing to Alabama's favor right now is that offensive lineman Deontay Brown is back time. If you did not know, he had been serving a suspension, and he was able to come back in the second half against the Ole Miss Rebels. So now he's back full time, so that does help. Another thing is watch Henry Ruggs. This past game, he had a lower body injury that caused him to come out of the game. He did return, but he didn't quite look like himself. He is listed as questionable on ESPN's website, so we got to keep a watch on him. DJ Dale, our freshman defensive lineman who's having quite a pretty good year, seems to be healthy and ready to go. Another thing for Alabama, we really need linebacker Terrell Lewis to step up and take over. It appears that durability is still an issue for him. It seems like the injury bug continues to plague him, and he quite hadn't got it going yet. So, but this is the time. This is the time for him. For Alabama, we need some of our veterans who are there to take over and to lead that defense.
I've been hearing a lot of chatter that Alabama are dealing with injuries. Is that severe, or you don't think it's not as a big deal as people are talking about?
Well, it is a big deal because we have a lot of key players out. And because of that, like I said, week after week, we have several freshman players starting in key positions. And that has made a major difference in how we run operations. Look at the defense. The defense has given up a whole lot more than what a Saban-led defense is accustomed to. You still got players with growing pains, trying to learn their position, trying to get things mastered, trying to get things under control. A lot of times they're found out of position or really not know what's going on, and they tend to give up a lot of big plays. So the defense is improving a lot. The defense isn't improving as quick as we like. Now, the offensive line with their young players seems to be taking that next step. It's just the defense that seems to be lagging with these young guys. And we just can't afford to have any more players injured.
Looking at the game, it will be this weekend on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Looking very much forward to it. This is Alabama's hardest game so far on the schedule. But, of course, there's more to come, more heavy hitters. Let's look. There was a special on ESPN last night with Todd McShay. He's an ESPN analyst. And he put down, like, the top five quarterbacks that will go in that order for next year's draft as of October 9th, 2019, AD. He had two at first place, then Justin Herbert, then Jake Fromm, then KJ Costello, and then Brian Lewerke. Would your list look like that, Justin?
At this point in the season, I would have to say absolutely, just based on the resume of those quarterbacks you just mentioned. Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert are performing at a very high level, and it doesn't seem like they have any problems excelling. They have not slowed down at all. Matter of fact, they've picked up their game from last season, as hard as it is to believe that. But, yes, I'd have to agree. Each of those players he has named in his top five are worthy of the accolade right now.
Of course, there was one person that they did not mention last night, and, of course, you mentioned it in the preview show, I forgot. Hold on.
Jalen Hurts.
I was going to say Wayne Haskins, but he's already drafted. He's not on that list. And there was talk on Twitter that why he's not on that list. And people are saying, well, he's not even a first round pick. How would you rate his performance? And would he be sixth place in your pick in that list?
I think that he has to be a 5B right now. One thing about Jalen is thus far he has improved tremendously. Since last year, he has shown a lot more development, and it looks like he's becoming a better passer. He's not quite there yet to garner first round favor, but I feel like we're at the halfway mark of the season right now. He still has a lot of games left to prove himself. He certainly has a great opportunity this weekend against Texas. That's a solid candidate, a solid opponent there. If he can go out and have a big game against Texas, then I believe that he starts to become more in the conversation of going possibly into the first round. Now, y'all keep in mind, a lot of people really weren't talking about Kyler Murray being a first-round talent either. It wasn't until we approached closer to the draft that all of a sudden he was the flavor of the week and everybody's draft boards is a possible number one. So there's still a lot of time for Jalen to impress scouts, impress analysts, what have you. And plus, when it comes to when it's scouting players in the draft, it can be very fickle. One week somebody is the best in the world, the next week they're forgotten about. So, there's just a lot that has to play out right now. But so far, Jalen's doing very well. He's one of the top players in college football right now, and he is definitely going to be a Heisman finalist if he continues at this rate. Yeah, like I said, he has a great opportunity this weekend to continue to cement his position in the Heisman race, but also too to gain the favor of NFL scouts. So his story is still playing out. Right now, like I said, he's not quite there yet, but it's a wait and see thing. I mean, don't write him off yet.
Yeah, the argument, of course, is the Big 12, a very high offensive conference, and Lincoln Riley makes it look good. But we'll see what happens. He has a big test this weekend against Texas, and he did mention he's not nervous because he's played in the Iron Bowl.
No, absolutely. And one thing that people need to realize, yes, the Big 12 conference is not known for their defense. They tend to give up a lot of points, a lot of yards. But you need to look at the game within the game when it comes to Jalen Hurts. He's become a more patient in the pocket. If his primary target is not open, he's not taking off anymore. He's being patient. He's looking down the field. He's looking at all options. He's making a lot better decisions. He seems to have more touch on his throws now. He has better play selection. So he looks really good. And, yes, as far as pressure goes, Jalen's already seen pressure. He's played in the Iron Bowl. He's played in national championship games. He won an SEC championship game single-handedly. So the Red River rivalry is nothing compared to what he's already faced.
Something to definitely look at. The game is this weekend. Top games this weekend. Of course, we'll cover it in the game predictions. Let's look at last weekend's SEC scores. LSU beat Utah State 42-6. Wasn't much of a matchup as we thought it would.
I was completely wrong about that. I thought it would be a little bit more of a tougher beatdown than what LSU allowed to happen. But, LSU seems very motivated, very driven. LSU right now is playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think that they're trying to prove to everybody that they belong. So there is not going to be any slacking off by the Tigers, regardless of if it's a top-tier opponent or if it's against, say, Utah State.
That game definitely looms large for Alabama, which they play them on November 9th, but it'll be in Bryant-Denny, so maybe things might balance out then. Another big score, Florida beating Auburn 24-13. You chose Auburn, but things turn out differently in the swamp.
Boy, did it. My gosh, that game. The initial look at it, it appeared that neither team wanted to win that game. It felt like it was the contest to see who could turn over the ball the most times. It looked like a blooper reel at times. And nobody could really quite get going or get out of their own way. However, Florida began to move past that, and they started making better decisions. But my gosh, that defense was just completely horrendous. It made life a living nightmare for Auburn. Offensively, Auburn never could get anything going. Gus Malzahn was just completely stuck. It's like he was put in quicksand. He couldn't get out. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't adapt. But I will give it to the Auburn defense. They did absolutely everything they possibly could to put themselves in position to get ahead in that game and possibly win that game. Derrick Brown wins the MVP of that game because that man by himself tried to save Auburn on multiple occasions. You know, he caused two turnovers, one of which he should have returned for a touchdown, but I think the grass monster got him. The other of which it put Auburn in prime position to possibly take the lead, but they goofed up, turned the ball over, came away with nothing, and you can't do that. So I was just shocked on the play of Auburn in that game. But kudos to Florida, you know, they took that next step and they won a big home contest. And right now, Florida, that really helps them out with this hard schedule they're looking at, and it helped them gain a little bit of respect.
Actually, that also puts pressure on Auburn for that Iron Bowl against Alabama on November 30th. That loss for them is not good. But do you think the weight is heavier for them to win that game?
Well, there's a huge weight on Auburn right now. One, they got to figure out something offensively to that's going to allow them to stay in games. Not just stay in games, win games. They've got a huge – it's not just the Iron Bowl that they have to think about. You know, they still got to play LSU. Yeah. They still got to play Georgia before they get to Alabama.
It's a stacked schedule.
It's beyond stacked, brother. It's like going through the Royal Rumble and fighting all 30 competitors by yourself. It's just a tall order. The thing is Gus Malzahn good enough to come up with something offensively to turn the Tigers' fortune around? I just don't know, man.
Do we see the true colors of Bo Nix?
I think you saw Bo Nix is a freshman quarterback. I don't think that's going to be the game that serves as a label for his career. Man, he's an 18-year-old kid going into a high-pressure situation on a national stage and at his opponent's stadium. He just kind of was left alone by his coach and put in horrible situations. You know, he's very talented, and he has a good pedigree coming in. But I still think he has a lot more, you know, to prove before we can legitimately say where he is, skill wise and ability wise.
Is Kyle Trask the real deal?
Well, so far, what Kyle Trask is doing is he is a phenomenal leader for that Gators team right now. He's providing
for the moment
leadership and stability. What's that?
For the moment.
For the moment, yeah, for the moment. He's providing leadership and stability to that Gators offense, which is something they have not been receiving from Felipe Franks. He has become the alpha of that offense, and he's driving that offense. And he gained a tremendous amount of respect from his team when he came back into the game after suffering an injury. And that alone, man, that can get an offense and a whole team going. So that right now he has in his favor. Is he phenomenal? No. Is he an SEC, all-SEC quarterback? That remains to be seen. But he's doing some great things, and being a great leader can take you very far.
If Felipe Franks was healthy this weekend, would you start Trask or Franks?
I say start Trask, because right now the team is responding better than they have with Kyle Trask right now. Based on what I've seen thus far, I have not seen the offense respond in the same way to Kyle Trask. To Felipe Franks as they have with Kyle Trask. So go with Trask right now.
Other scores: Missouri beat Troy 42-10.
Yawn. However, Missouri's got an issue right now because Kelly Bryant got hurt in that game in the first half and did not return. And Missouri did not score another point the rest of that game either. So that's a concern for them right now, especially going against an Ole Miss team this weekend that's gaining confidence.
Georgia beat Tennessee 43-14.
They did, and it looked like Tennessee had a little bit more life in them with that quarterback change. They did play a whole lot better in the first half, and it looked as if they were going to be giving the Bulldogs fits until reality came, and the Bulldogs were able to get things going and do what they do.
Ole Miss beat Vanderbilt 31-6.
Well, it is to be expected. Ole Miss came and did what they had to do. Another big day for the Rebels' rushing attack, led by Plumlee and then two other backs. Ole Miss is getting better each week, and that's a good confidence builder.
But they won't win the SEC. Anyways, go ahead.
No, they shouldn't. But what's amazing, though, is Ole Miss managed to limit Vanderbilt to 6 points, whereas LSU gave up 38 points to them.
Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So why was Ole Miss able to do what LSU couldn't?
Yeah. AP top 25, we see Cincinnati moving up after beating UCF. We see Memphis number 23, Texas A&M is 24. SMU 21, SMU Mustangs, Virginia is at number 20, Wake Forest number 19. Other than that, no major changes in the top half of the table. Clemson is still number 2, Alabama is number 1. So any comment on that?
No, I mean, everything kind of already is what should be right now, except for the movement of Auburn and Florida.
Yeah, Auburn moved down to 12th from 7th, and Florida moved up to 7th. So good for Florida. We'll see what happens. This weekend is going to change a lot of things. There's going to definitely be some disruption. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely, man. This is one of the better weekends we've had. So we got a lot more quality games this weekend than we've had, especially for Alabama.
Real quick, NFL, Earl Thomas saw Mason Rudolph step up in the pocket and took aim at what the Baltimore Ravens safety considered Pittsburgh quarterback's strike zone. One ugly and illegal collision later, Rudolph lay motionless on the Heinz Field's turf, and one of NFL's most bitter rivalries was reborn. Thomas' crunching hit to Rudolph's chin left Rudolph with a concussion and Pittsburgh sees it in the hands of undrafted rookie free agent quarterback Devlin Hodges. While Hodges filled in admirably after Rudolph woozily made his way off the field and to a nearby hospital for further evaluations, the Ravens pulled out a 26-23 overtime victory that could have a significant ripple effect on both team seasons. What were your thoughts about Ravens' performance?
Well, it's very unfortunate that Earl Thomas hit had that devastating effect to Mason Rudolph. You just really hate to see that. As far as what it meant to this game meant to the Ravens as an organization, it means a whole lot. They really needed to have a bounce back win against their division rival, especially after going 0-2 the past couple of weeks. They really needed to do something positive going forward, and they were able to do that. Incredible play by Marlon Humphrey was able to punch the ball out of Juju Smith-Schuster's hands and set up the game-winning field goal. Just a great confidence builder for the Ravens going forward. It wasn't a pretty game, but they got it done. So I was pleased with that. Some may argue, you know, the Ravens were able to capitalize off the fact that Pittsburgh was playing with a third-string quarterback. I'm not going to look at it that way. I just look at it as, you know, it's a victory, it's a step in the right direction. It's something they desperately needed right now.
Anything else before we head into game predictions?
If y'all get a chance, guys, I just wrote an article on what I mentioned earlier. All four of Alabama's wide receivers have been named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list. And I wrote a little article detailing why these guys are worthy of that accolade. So if you would, go to our website, Check that out. You know, we'd love to have some commentary on that. Good stuff about the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Let's head into game predictions. Oklahoma at Texas.
This could go really either way. But I believe this week the Oklahoma offense is going to outperform the Texas Longhorns. So I'm going with the Sooners. Boomer Sooner, I believe Jalen Hurts does just enough to get the Sooners a victory over the Longhorns.
Red River rivalry goes to Oklahoma. Michigan State at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin wins, but it's going to be a very boring, low-scoring game.
Washington State at Arizona State.
I think Washington State has this one. Just they have this amazing ability to generate unworldly offense, and I just don't think, as well as Arizona State's playing right now, I don't think they're going to be able to slow down that offense. So Washington State.
Michigan at Illinois.
Michigan better win this game.
If they don't,
Harbaugh is going to be getting an Uber out of that stadium. So another win for Michigan, a confidence builder for them, and this week they'll probably score more than 10 points.
FSU at Clemson.
Clemson, and it's going to be very boring.
South Carolina.
I say that, but Clemson tends to be making games that should be blowouts, a much tougher contest than what they really are. According to Clemson faithful, that's because people have been having some bumps and bruises, namely Trevor Lawrence. So, but apparently everything is good and healthy right now, so maybe we should see a boost in the points.
Maybe they're saving up for the playoffs.
Maybe so.
It's South Carolina at Georgia.
Georgia, big.
Penn State at Iowa.
Man, this is really a game to watch. It's not really being talked about as much as the other games. Both teams are pretty good, although Penn State has been on a tear this season. And I don't feel like they slow down in this game. I really want to get on the Penn State train right now, but they're going to have to beat Ohio State in order for me and the rest of the world to do that. But Penn State wins.
Penn State beats Iowa. USC at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame wins this game handily.
It's funny because they play every year, it feels like. I think like they have like some type of agreement or contract. I don't know.
It's a rivalry.
It's a rivalry. Alabama at Texas A&M.
This is going to be a good game, a good contest for Alabama. I feel like the defense is really going to get challenged this week against a much more athletic offense, much more athletic quarterback. Today, Kellerman is perceivably the best quarterback that they've played this season. And he really has the ability to be a nightmare for them. Now, it just depends on which Kellerman is going to show up. Are we going to get Kellerman who's on his A game, or are we going to get the Kellerman that showed up against Clemson? I honestly believe that Kellerman is going to have probably the best game thus far. And Texas A&M is going to play lights out, and Kyle Field is a horribly tough place to play. However, I believe that Alabama is going to generate more offense than Texas A&M will be able to. But Alabama wins this a lot closer than probably what people will think. Alabama will win 35-21.
35-21. That's pretty. That seems like a small margin. Feels like it could be more. But anyways, hopefully it's more.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, we need a very, very big road victory here. But also, too, need players to stay healthy.
That's very important. Texas A&M is the hardest game so far in their schedule so far, but it only gets tougher. One low-key game matchup, Florida at LSU.
Low-key game, you got two teams in the top 10 playing against one another. Nothing really low-key about that. But perceivably going to be the best game of the weekend. It's getting a lot of a lot of press right now. Game day is going to be there. This right now, this is another prove-it-to-us game for Florida. Do they have enough to be able to hang with LSU? LSU is just so well-balanced on offense, and, of course, their defense is just a typical LSU defense. But Florida's playing great on defense as well. But the thing is, can Kyle Trask do enough to want to keep them out of trouble, but also outperform Joe Burrow? I don't think so, my friend. I think LSU wins this game.
That game is going to be quite interesting because if Florida wins, this is a clear indicator that they got to be in the top four. There's just no way out of
that. They'll definitely be in a conversation for that. It definitely provides them with a very good possibility of winning the rest of their games and possibly hanging with Georgia.
And
if they're able to do this, this really puts them in a much better position right now because their schedule's not getting any easier either.
No, and they play Georgia in a neutral zone in Jacksonville. So, boy, we'll see what happens. If Florida could beat both those two teams, we can see three SEC teams in the playoffs.
Well, that's going to be a must-win game for Florida. If Florida drops this game to LSU and still manage to beat Georgia, they still are in the SEC championship. So don't make that game against Georgia any more critical than it should be. But I don't know. It all comes down to that game. They could afford a loss to LSU. I just contradicted what I said. They can afford a loss to LSU because, you know, they still have a schedule with a Georgia Bulldog team ahead that would allow them to get back into the picture.
Has LSU played anyone this year so far?
Well, outside of Texas, no.
Wow, there you have it. Florida has played somebody already this year.
Well, they played a ranked Auburn team. How good that Auburn team really is, we'll find out, you know, as the season plays out.
Win is on their sails. I think Florida might have some momentum coming in. We'll see. I'm pulling for Florida.
I am too, because, you know, every SEC loss the LSU gets, the better it is for Alabama.
Funny how Alabama scheduled these games, kind of very strategic here. But anyway, that's a conspiracy. NFL, Houston at Kansas City.
Kansas City.
San Fran at the Rams. This is an interesting NFC West. It might be the NFC West title game.
It could be, but this right now is a must-win for the Rams, who have dropped games as of late. They really can't afford to lose this. Now, San Francisco is on fire right now. They're undefeated, and they conceivably could, you know, keep that ball rolling. But the thing is, now they're on a much bigger stage, and the expectations are on them. Are they going to be able to play against the Rams knowing that? I think the Rams bounces back this week and gives San Francisco the first L.
Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Dear Lord, if Baltimore loses this game, Baltimore will win this game.
Tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Giants at the Patriots with no Saquon Barkley.
No Saquon Barkley, no Sterling Shepard, no Evan Ingram. So what does that tell you?
That tells you New England. And Gronk will be on Fox Sports tonight, commentating before and also during halftime. Should be quite interesting.
Bush should provide some good quality entertainment. Honestly, surprised he's not in the WWE right now.
I'm surprised. XFL playoff, XFL draft is this month, by the way.
It is. I am so excited to see that, man. I really hope this league takes off and has some staying power. So, and plus, you know, a lot of players are very familiar with are in that draft. So it's going to be really interesting to see where they fall. Me, for one, I'm pulling for Trent Richardson.
Antonio Brown is still not invited.
With good reason. Vince McMahon puts up with a lot, but he doesn't do crazy.
There you go. Random question. What is your favorite fall candy? Candy corn, caramel creams, candy apples, or Reese's pumpkin?
Candy corn, man. You got to go with the classic, the the, in my mind, Halloween candy.
The poll has candy corn at 0, caramel creams at 0, candy apples at 60, and Reese's pumpkin at 40. So candy apples wins.
Oh, okay. Guess I was wrong.
Another question, random question. Who do you think is better, Jake Fromm or Angel Jones?
I mean, you had two different quarterbacks and two different playing styles, and both at different level of the game, of their careers. I got to go with Daniel Jones.
There you have it, Daniel Jones. So far, 2-1 with the Giants. He is playing the Patriots tonight. If he beats the Patriots in New England, there's something about that kid. Justin, how can people talk to you about Nick Saban's tenure at LSU?
You can find me on my personal handles, at 12-1 training. That's 12, the number 12, one spelled out training, on both Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me running the Sportscast social media accounts a majority of the time, at the Sportscast 1 on both Twitter and Instagram. Also, we are now presence on LinkedIn, so check us out there as well. So, and I'll be running that a lot of the time too, so you've got a lot of different venues in which you can reach me.
And there you have it. We'll be live tweeting a few games, especially this weekend. A lot going on. Of course, Justin will be covering Alabama, Texas A&M, and we'll have Tyler call. We'll be calling the Colorado-Oregon game. Should be very impressive. And, of course, we're not sure if we're going to cover UF-LSU. We're going to say yes for now, but hopefully we'll either have Kailu or have someone else cover it. Maybe Ryan. Maybe Ryan, because Ryan's a Florida Gator. He's pretty happy that he was the only one last week that chose Florida to beat Auburn. Can you believe that?
No, I don't believe that. He's a Gator through and through. He's going to stick with his team. I almost picked the Gators. I really was leaning towards them, but I guess I was the SEC West homer that game.
Yeah, and, you know, with you and him, we're talking about their offensive line. It's just not that good, but we'll see. We'll see if they could tweak it by this weekend.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out in a big way.
Anyways, follow us on thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 on Twitter. Please subscribe on our YouTube channel, our Facebook, our iTunes, and on our Periscope. Hit the follow. Hit the notification. We'll be following along college football throughout the weekend. NBA is coming in slowly with the preseason. And, of course, you got Major League Baseball playoffs underway. We got Kailu Borden coming and talking to us a little bit about baseball. But, anyways, that's all we have. Big weekend this weekend. This is college football, the heart of it, the meat of it. Justin, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. Roll Tide.